Good morning. We'll call the April 9th, 2013 County Council meeting to order. First thing, approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Yes, Mr. President, good morning. We can amend the agenda today to strike job applicants' qualifications under executive session, leaving personnel, pending potential litigation, and land acquisition.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We had March 26th minutes. Any questions, concerns, or changes to those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
I do. I have a letter from a resident in Plantations about noise. I've gotten a couple calls from folks about they want us to have a noise ordinance, and this gentleman sent us a copy of the one that Newcastle County uses, which excludes farmland. I can pass this along as to the clerk of the court. Also, I wanted to share with you that I'm still working on the committee for broadband in Delaware, and I picked up some brochures. I'd like to share them with you.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. First item under the agenda is Mrs. Patty Grimes, Executive Director with the Freeman Foundation, here to give us an update on the Freeman stage at Bayside. Mrs. Grimes, please come forward. Welcome.
Good morning, Council. It's good to see you again. Thank you for having me, Mr. Lawson. And I'm here today to give you an update on the Freeman stage at Bayside and to let you know that we are thankful for the support of Council in the past and to let you know that your investment in the Freeman stage at Bayside, the residents and the children of Sussex County has bode well. So if I could bring your attention to the slideshow. This is the Freeman stage at Bayside. All of the photos that you'll see this morning are from our 2012 season. And we started the season off with the Mid-Atlantic Symphony Orchestra, and we ended with the Mid-Atlantic Symphony Orchestra, the Morgan State University Choir, and fireworks. As you know, we are a public charity that partners to present memorable performances and provide inspired arts education for all. And we're particularly proud of the words "for all." The performances that we've had this year are for all residents, guests, and we've had over almost 40,000 people come to the stage in 2012. Speaking of progress, we actually increased our board of directors in 2012 to represent businesses, philanthropists, and taxpayers in Sussex County. So in addition to Michelle DeFebo Freeman, Stephen Hutler, and Chris Shreve, who have been our founding board members to the Joshua Freeman Foundation, we've added Sarah Chase Carlson, who is actually an Ocean View resident and is in the crowd today. Sarah, if you could just raise your hand so council knows you're here, as well as Matt Haley, from Sodell Concepts, and Drexel Davison from Bad Hair Day. These are great photos. Our purpose is creating opportunities to elevate the human spirit and provide access for all. With your transportation grant in 2012, almost 10,000 children were able to come and see arts right at the stage. You can see them being bussed in. They had a wonderful time, and you helped us change lives with children. So as I said, 10,000 people came, and these were sponsored by the Freeman Stage at Bayside. They were at many different venues, at Dell Tech, at different schools in the area, and at the Freeman Stage. So as you know, when we're not at the stage in the summer, we're all throughout the community in all parts of Sussex County the rest of the year. In 2012, the Freeman Stage had over 100 loyal volunteers with only full-time employees, nearly 40,000 patrons in 2012, our success at the Freeman Stage would not have been possible without volunteers. So when we talk about partnering to present memorable performances, it takes a community. So in addition to the funding, we really need people's time, and we're so thankful for the time of these 100 loyal volunteers. The state of Delaware warrants volunteers as $22.93 an hour, and we have about 14 volunteers per performance, so when you do the math, that really saves a tremendous amount of time on our overhead. And as this slide says, we only have 6 full-time employees. You will receive our annual report at the end of our presentation, and less than 6% of our overhead, 6% of administrative costs make up our expenses. So we've done our best to really put as much of our expenses and our revenue into providing arts education. So this is our offstage performances. We have come to Del Tech. We do residencies, main stage public performances in the evening, and we do post-performance education sessions. Just the facts in 2012, we had 70 performances. Our average performance cost is over $18,000. We had about 563 artists come and grace our stage. We sold almost 20,000 tickets. We had 9,450 outreach guests, so that were the underserved population in Sussex as well as students. We had 128 sponsors. 6 of us made this happen, along with 39,000 patrons who came to the stage. And we were noticed. We were noticed in many different places. We received the Community Spirit Award for the Bethany Fenwick Chamber of Commerce for the impact that we're bringing to the community here. We're not a secret anymore, but the Baltimore Sun said that we were the best-kept secret on the shore.
We don't want those people.
We don't want that anymore. And the state of Delaware with Delaware Today magazine said we were the best bandstand in Delaware. And something that we're extremely proud of is Delmarva Now, which is a local media group, said we were one of the top 10 places for kids' activities in the county. And we brought 5 special concert events to the stage last year in honor of our 5th season. Darius Rucker came, and 2,300 people enjoyed a concert. You would have thought that our little stage looked like Meriwether Post Pavilion on that evening. Southside Johnny came, John Tesh was there, Darius Rucker, and the Midtown Men. And you can see that our ticket buyers came from many places, not only in the Mid-Atlantic region, but as far west as Texas and as far south as Florida. And that's very important for tourism and the economic boom that the arts can bring to Sussex County. So when people come to the stage with our outreach guests, what is their experience like from them? Because it's more than just coming to see a quality arts experience. It's about bringing hope. It's about folks feeling like they're welcome. So when they come, they have preferred seating. We have meals for them. They receive free attendance, and their families who come with them also are our guests. They get to meet the artist, and there's nothing greater than a young child getting to hear about how there might be some similarities in an artist's past and how they may have overcome some adversity in their lifetime to sort of change what children may think about their future. And of course, they receive high-quality arts experiences. With your help and the transportation grants, these are all the schools where children and students were able to come to the stage, or we came to different school systems within Sussex County, so that children of all ages, from preschool through high school, were able to be entertained and receive high-quality arts experiences. In addition to that, we had over 35 community groups who we partnered with from all places in the county in 2012. So what does 2013 look like? 53 performances at the stage and probably 15 performances outside of the stage throughout the county. We anticipate, again, almost 40,000 patrons and 10,000 outreach guests. All regular season pay performances are free, and we're going to have that equals 65% of our performances will be free to the public, and underwritten by the Freeman Stage and our sponsors in 2013. And we have special concert events with Lau Lovett, Sheryl Crow, Darius Rucker, Michael McDonald, Pat Benatar. And I'm pleased to say since our launch of the season on April the 1st that we have sold over $500,000 in tickets. So our response has been outstanding. Many of the performances that you see here are already sold out, and we expect record-breaking attendance in 2013. Speaking of our offstage performances, these are the ones that we've already scheduled in the county. We had Lula Washington Dance Theater in Sussex County at Del Tech in February to a sold-out house. And that was actually a free performance, so it wasn't sold out, but it was full. We actually had to bring chairs in to accommodate the audience members. Romeo and Juliet 3D will be held at the Cape Henlopen Theater at the Cape Henlopen High School in April. Over 1,600 students will be able to see opera, theater, and dance there. And Agaboom will be in May. We anticipate 2,500 elementary school students being able to come to the stage and enjoy this Cirque de Lucet-esque type of program. We're doing middle school murals in the fall to work with visual artists and to provide some coping skills and confidence skills around anti-bullying, which is a huge social issue in today's society, especially with middle school students. October will bring Julie Fallis. She was the voice of the Disney Pixar movie Brave. She'll be back here. And then we'll finish in December at Del Tech with the Washington National Opera. Again, all of these performances will be in other sections of the county. We're very proud of the support that we receive from many other agencies, including Sussex County. We receive grants from the Secretary of State and the State of Delaware, Delaware Tourism, the Delaware Division of the Arts, the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation, the New England Foundation of the Arts, and PNC Bank, as well as the Pennsylvania Performing Artists on Tour. And I think this slide says it all. We're very thankful for your support in the past. We have made a request through Mr. Lawson this year for your support, and we kindly and respectfully request consideration for your continued support in transportation grants for 2013. At this time, I'd like Doug Phillips, who is our marketing manager, to hand out to you our 2013 calendar of events. And we also have our annual report for 2012 in there. This year, our budget in just 6 years is now over $2 million. Again, about 6 or 7% of our expenses are management or overhead. The primary focus of our budget is to bring the arts and to bring it to everyone. And about 48% of our revenue comes from sponsors and ticket buyers, and the rest of it comes from grants. At this time, I'm happy to answer any questions that the council might have.
Any questions from council?
I have a question, but I did attend the April 1st opening of this season, and I was very impressed. I think the opportunity to bring this level and this quality of art in Sussex County is something that a lot of us didn't realize was available. And I want to thank you personally for doing everything you are for our culture here. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did too. I attended a concert, and it's a relaxed atmosphere, but the music and the presentations are high class, high level. It's a wonderful experience. I say Freeman has made some friends here.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else from council? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You as well.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first item this morning is recognition of the employee of the first quarter, Lisa Walls.
How much money does she get for that?
Lisa? The employee of the first quarter winner is Lisa Walls. Lisa has worked for Sussex County since December 2006 in the Utility Permits Department as a Clerk 3. She is one of the main contacts in the department for processing fees and also dealing with inspectors on a daily basis. Lisa is very punctual, extremely professional, always busy and productive. She seeks extra work and is willing to perform tasks that may fall outside of her job classification. She is able to answer many questions from customers that would normally have to be directed to a supervisor or a director. She is also very reliable. Lisa was nominated by Gary Tung, Director of Utility Permits. Congratulations to Lisa as the Sussex County Employee of the First Quarter. And we have a tribute that says the Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Lisa Walls on the 9th day of April, 2013, signed Michael H. Vincent, President. That's hers. Congratulations, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Congratulations, Lisa. Next item is the administrator's report, and the first item for business is the Sussex County Library Week proclamation. Sussex County Council proclaims the week of April 14th through the 20th, 2013 as Sussex County Library Week. Whereas libraries play a vital role in defining and supporting the quality of life in their communities, and libraries provide all with free access to 21st century information technology and guidance in its use, librarians, library workers, and supporters are deserving of celebration as they help people of all ages and backgrounds find and interpret the information they need to live, learn, work, and grow. Libraries are spaces of opportunities, places to discover and fulfill dreams, great and small. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council proclaims Sussex County Library Week, April 14th through the 20th, 2013, and encourages all residents to visit their library this week and beyond. Communities thrive at their library, the best deal you already pay for. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, dated April 9th, 2013. And we are joined by a number of our librarian staff here in the back. Come on
one
down.
One man, poor man. I know how he feels. He's just all by himself.
Where do you want him?
Front center.
Where do you want him, Chip?
Don't go side.
Come down front. We'll just put some folks in front of the projector here, and we'll get a shot.
What's Sam doing down there? He doesn't go, does he?
Sam, you've never been to a library.
All right, you get down front. Here we go.
Don't knock anybody over.
Don't be magical, girls. Go on over here.
Come on in.
Sam's going to knock somebody over.
Sam, give them something.
I don't want to knock the blankets. I'm a little taller than you guys.
Okay.
She's outdone me now.
I can't get behind this thing.
I'm going to make sure when I leave it's
get in there, Mary.
Get in there.
It's their money.
Yep. It is.
Save it.
All right. Oh, it does take time.
You all go say that.
A massive.
In. Back and.
Watch, I don't want to be sad.
Did you give him that key? Is that a thanks?
You need a bigger lift, Jim.
Yeah, they're fine.
We'll pass that down to the lady since we're not doing anything.
Yes, sir.
You want to give some money to the.
I'm done.
You're done giving here?
And paparazzi.
So you got to wait till July?
Wow.
Thank you guys very much.
I know it's a lot of
money. That's okay. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Hey, John, how are you?
Manage money. No, you blew it until your account. If this was a household, you'd be broke. You'd be at the food. You'd be at the food bank. I make sure that I have enough money to pay the rent. You never know what money I might have.
They had a breakfast.
We need a bigger room. Well, I started too, but Elaine's been sick the last couple of days. So I
good care of my district.
I'll continue on with the administrator's report. Item number 2, Delaware State Police Activity Report for 2013 February. There were 3,860 total traffic arrests and 1,909 total criminal arrests in Delaware. Of that, 1,909, 774 were felony, 1,135 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours on duty spent, 39% were spent on criminal investigations. Item number 3, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Senators Phase 1B received substantial completion effective March 28, 2013. Item number 4, attached, please find the call statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for March 2013. There were 14,234 total calls handled in the month of March. Of those 911 calls, 75% were made from wireless phones. And finally, Sussex County Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities will host a special planning meeting on Wednesday, April 17, 2013, at the Easter Seals Building on 22317 DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. During the planning meeting, the committee will review the results of the new coalition interest survey and discuss its upcoming conference. The public is invited to participate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Webb.
Okay. Today we're going to discuss a few things on our county health insurance. As you received in your packet, some topics that we're going to talk about is our renewal of our stop-loss insurance. This is our insurance that covers our claims above our self-insurance limits and renewed every year, and this is just standard every year. We renew this at this time by May 1st, but also we bring some things to you, some savings that we think we could do within our health insurance. So this year we're going to talk about the future impact of the Affordable Care Act and its impact on Sussex County, which you hear about in the news all the time. So between Sussex County and Integra, our third-party administrator, we're going to talk about that, and then maybe some possible cost savings we'd like to introduce on our health savings plan with the spousal coordination of benefits and the birthday rule. And we have representation here today from the personnel office and accounting department and from Integra. Chris Smith and David Smith will talk about all three of these items as we go through them. The first thing, though, just to recap on our stop-loss renewal insurance, we're not recommending any changes to our deductible. We have a specific deductible up to $285,000. I'm just going to briefly cover the basics of the self-insurance. After the $285,000 and $100,000 of an aggregating specific, which is a total, then we go to our stop-loss insurance, or it's called catastrophic insurance, where the insurance company kicks in and pays those claims on the individual over that month. Well, it's $285,000.
Their limit.
$285,000 specific per person, and then $100,000 per category, per county, I'm sorry, overall. And then once those limits are reached,
right,
then the stop-loss insurance
pays.
That's
what I'm asking,
right.
What's the limit? How high does that go, stop-loss insurance? How,
oh,
to what level?
Did that change? It used to be $1 million with Medicaid or Medicare kicked in after $1 million.
Well, under health insurance, it's $2 million.
Do you want to come to the podium? I'm sorry, Chris. We weren't. This is Mr. Chris Smith from Integra.
Chris Smith from Integra. Thank you, Council. Yes, this year it's $2
million
annualized.
Okay.
Next year, under health reform, it will be unlimited. So
unlimited.
The benefits for each individual will have an unlimited amount.
So that means unlimited for the stop-loss carrier won't have a threshold?
That's correct.
So the premiums could possibly go up because they don't have the threshold?
That's correct.
You're talking next year, though.
Correct.
Okay.
Right now, it is an unlimited benefit, but it's capped at $2 million annual per person per year, and then next year it will be unlimited. for each covered person.
Okay.
And what company is providing unlimited coverage?
Currently, it's through Companion Life. That is the insurance company. But all the insurance companies are required under the ACA law to have and provide unlimited benefits.
Oh, under the new law?
Yes.
My goodness.
Just find this out? Woo.
That's not good.
So, our Integra, their firm, did go and get quotes for the renewal, and our incumbent provider, Companion, was the one that kept us the same with the restrictions that we wanted and the thresholds that we wanted, and came in $36,000 lower on their premium. So we're going to be doing a recommendation for that renewal in the form of a motion, but we'd like to go do that at the end and go through some of the other steps we have for a presentation today. So I think the next thing we want to do is discuss the Affordable Care Act with Ms. Jennings and Mr. Smith. They have a presentation. It's going to be a lot of information to take in, too.
It all is in.
I know. This map.
It is. Like you also. We haven't seen each other in a while. We have to catch up.
Okay. Yeah, that would help.
We're free to do emails. We can trace it.
Good morning. I'm going to talk about the Affordable Care Act and how it will impact us at the county. I'm going to try to stay high level. There's a lot on here, but I'm just going to keep moving through pretty quickly. We can figure out how to push the button. Okay. Where we are now, we have made some changes in the last year where we have to cover dependents under the age of 26 to stay on their parents' health care plan. Anybody that under age 19, there's no pre-existing conditions for those dependents. Benefit plans are prohibited from having lifetime maximums. Preventive care coverage is at 100%. Starting in our next renewal, after August 1st, 2012, we're required to have women's health preventive care. That's birth control. We had to cover that at 100% as well. And we also had a W-2 requirement where you saw on your W-2s last year how much the county's paying for health insurance for each employee. So the first fee that we're going to see that we have to pay starts July 31st of this year. This is a research fee. It is $1 per covered life. We have about 1,200 covered lives on our plan, so it's going to cost us $1,200. 2014, it's $2 per covered life. That would be $2,400, and any year after that, it's increased by inflation. We have to pay this through 2019. The next, there's a tax that is help these plans that they're putting out, their reinsurance plans for the exchange program. The federal government has come up that they will need $25 billion to fund these exchange programs. So how they're going to collect it is that we'll be charged $63 per covered person per year. So when you take the 1,200 times the 63, we're going to see an annual cost of $75,600. Sussex County will not be exempt from this tax.
It's a new tax, right?
Yes.
Income tax.
Now, is that the tax? I mean, you may not know this, that some people have been exempted from, some corporations? And
yes. Anybody under 50 employees are exempt.
Well, even over and above that number, I understand some people have been given some special exemptions.
Yeah, and there's another tax I think you're talking about a little bit later. But that's a research tax, and it's for fully funded plans, which is ours. So they don't have a fully funded plan.
Can we write a letter to Joe Biden asking us to be exempted, please?
The plans after 2014, there are more stipulations put in here. We will be required to provide essential health benefits, and they're defined in the law. We already provide most of these services, so we shouldn't see too much of an increase with these essential health benefits. But other employers that haven't been offering these benefits will be required to offer those. With this, there'll be no pre-existing condition exclusion. So like I said in the previous slide, it was anybody that under the age of 19. On the second wave, nobody will have this no pre-existing condition exclusion. So we would have to accept everybody. There'll be no dollar limit on the essential health benefits. So this is what you guys were going back and forth with Chris about. At this point, then it's limited on how much we can spend on an employee. There is also a wellness rewards program that we could implement that, for example, if we want to charge more for smokers, we could do that up to 30%. That's what that is. The next one is that all employers that have at least 50 employees must provide affordable coverage. So what is affordable is 9.5% of the employee's household income. And in the state of Delaware, it's estimated about $95 a month per employee. Coverage. Now, there's an employee penalty if an employer does not provide health insurance or one of their employees goes out to the exchange to buy insurance. This penalty is $2,000 per employee that's not covered, minus 30. We shouldn't have this penalty, but I just want to make you aware of it. With other employers, as we're doing the coordination of benefits, that this penalty is out there.
I mean, she would just pay the penalty.
Okay, here's the next tax. This is the tax that will be substantial to us. There's a 40% excise tax on plans with premiums exceeding $10,200 for individual and $27,500 for family. This does start in 2018, so this is the time for us to start talking about it and trying to avoid this tax that we could say. Our insurance plans, when you had got your W-2s, you would see if you had family coverage, it was $25,194 for family, $8,398 for individual. Our family side, because of the number of lives that we have, if we were to assume a 4% increase, which is a conservative increase of what we have seen in the past, we would see a $1,750 tax on each family coverage. We currently have about 140 employees with family coverage, so that's a $245,000 excise tax on the county's plan. So I'm going to turn it over to Chris with some recommendations to help us offset some of these taxes that we're going to see, and then he can answer some questions.
Okay. There are two recommendations we'd like to look at. In fact, the spousal coordination of benefits is one that we've looked at over the last several years. And basically, if the individual spouse has coverage available to them at their place of employment, then they would be required to go onto that employer's program. Currently, for every employee you have on your plan, there's almost one dependent on your plan. So again, if you have 1,200 total lives, it creates quite a few people that you have covered. So there's a little bit of anti-selection, and part of that is because your benefits are so rich and your contributions are so low that compared to the average in the market, that dependents would like to stay on your program. But that does cost additional funds to the county. There are other state organizations that currently do this, to include the state of Delaware and also Newcastle. This has been in place since 1993. So in regards to this recommendation, we would include a time period of making this change. 6 months, maybe January 1, if you're considering to implement this type of a program. Under the Affordable Care Act, or affectionately called sometimes Obamacare, we've talked about the 9.5%. Well, employers will have to make sure that care is affordable for their employees. Mm-hmm. So their contribution for single coverage cannot exceed 9.5% of their adjusted gross income. So with that, if their contributions are fairly high, those contributions will have to go down. If the employer does not offer insurance, then those individuals would be eligible to come on the county's plan. So there's many ways that this can be handled and done, but again, that's a recommendation. The hardship exemption, again, if the costs for care, especially in this year before the 9.5% rule goes into effect in 2014, then if costs for the employee under their other employer's program exceeds a dollar amount, then they could stay on the county's plan, and that's something that would have to be discussed. The birthday rule, currently there's coordination of benefits between a child that's under two benefit plans. What this would do is that whichever employee that's employed to either the county or at their local place of employment is closest to January 1, that child would be primary or covered under that program. Again, this is currently in other programs with other state organizations and governments. So those are two recommendations that we have had on the table for the last several years. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Question, Council?
How about if your spouse is on eligible for Medicare? Will the government allow the spouse to go to Medicare instead of this is a prime coverage here?
Well, again, if they're eligible for Medicare, then Medicare would be primary for that dependent.
In the past, my wife got kicked off, went to this for primary. And in the past, I was on Medicare, and they said they wouldn't allow me to go that way. They wanted me to come this way. Well, I can understand the government. I can understand the hospitals actually want to do this because Medicare automatically goes through the bills and corrects them. And many times it cuts as much as 30-40%. So they love this insurance company. So I can see why they want to go that way. But anyway, I wonder if we're going to have a problem when we tell them that. Well, when we tell the hospitals that our primary coverage is Medicare, really.
If you're an active employee and
I won't get away with it. I'll have to take the
If you're an active employee and you are eligible for Medicare, the plan is always primary to Medicare, unless you voluntarily waive off the plan and elect
Medicare. Well, that doesn't change.
Yeah, that doesn't change.
Now, for the spouse, it can go back the other way, right?
Correct. Yes. If this is adopted and that's what the council decides to do, yes.
Well, it was no problem me staying there, but it was, you know, I was sort of had a forced hand here to get out of that program. Which I thought was a saving us money, all of us money in a sense.
More questions from council?
Yeah, I help you understand. You just said this: the county's plan would be primary to Medicare if the employee is qualifies to have Medicare. Did you say that? Primary.
Active.
Usually Medicare is primary to anything else, any other type.
Yeah, if you're an active employee mm-hmm. and you're eligible for benefits on the plan and one of the things we didn't cover is that if you're working over 30 hours, you would be eligible for benefits, any employee working over 30 hours. If you're active and eligible, then Medicare requires that employee to be primary on the health plan. Medicare is secondary. Now, the employee can voluntarily waive off the health plan and elect
mm-hmm.
Medicare.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
They can do that and buy a supplemental policy, but it's voluntary. But that's how Medicare coordinates coverage with insurance plans.
Interesting, because I'm hearing that a lot of doctors.
Thank
you, Mr. Kramer. I said it's interesting because I'm hearing that a lot of our physicians won't accept Medicare.
Yeah, that's a dilemma.
Yes, it is.
It is.
How about if this is my secondary job? My main income is from something else. How would that fit?
If your main...
My main income is from some other source than this.
Okay. Well, I have to look into that in regards to who's primary and who's secondary in regards to coverage. But again, if you're actively employed and are eligible for benefits, then the health plan would be primary and Medicare would be secondary. But you do have the option of electing Medicare if you so choose.
It would be elective. I could go to Medicare. You think if that would be my prime source income from some other job?
It would depend if that other job provides benefits and how many hours you're
self-employed.
Working. If you're self-employed and there are no benefits available and there's no insurance, then you would stay on the benefit plan.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if I could
if Medicare would recognize that.
Well, Medicare would be but secondary.
As being a larger income from some other job.
Yeah, it would depend in regards to coordination.
Okay.
It would depend.
Enough said. Thank you.
How much are you getting paid, Sam?
Mr. Phillips.
Did I hear that there are two taxes the county will not have to pay? First, the $75,000, and then the second, $240,000, $245,000?
Yes, that is correct. There are two taxes.
But it sounds like this law is going to cost the county $325,000.
It could. The PCORI tax, the initial tax, is an IRS tax, and that's due by July 31st, 2013. The second tax is a health and human services tax, which we would collect out of your health fund and pay to HHS, and that's the $63 tax, and that's to fund the exchanges. And that's due next year, in 2014.
And that's the one related to the number of lives on the plan.
Actually, both are, both the PCORI and...
the less lives, the less tax. And
correct. It's per life. It's not per employee. So every person you have covered, there's an additional tax. And again, every governmental agency is required to fund this tax.
Well, it's interesting how they gave the title the Affordable Care Act. I'm just still fascinated by that. I guess they think in Washington we're that dumb out here in the public that if they just put that word on there, we'll believe it.
Yeah.
There's one thing they know in Washington, George, is tax.
Thank you, Sam.
Any more questions from council?
We do have another piece of information to share, a better news, and it's about a new network that Integra will be providing for our coverages. If you want to talk a little bit about that, it's positive news for the employees with lower deductibles mm-hmm. and lower claims for us that we're going to add to our existing network, so it won't be anything less than what we already have. It's just another opportunity and another option for where to put our for to put our claims, if you want to.
Yeah, that. Thank you very much, Susan. That's we're very happy to be able to present a new network to coexist alongside of the OneNet network that you currently have. Hospitals and providers typically have the ability to pay themselves, again, through providing care to their own employees. And they can do that very affordably because, again, they're providing services through their own hospital or provider system. What we've been able to do is work with an organization out of Annapolis, Maryland, to build a new network for employer groups in Sussex County and throughout the Delmarva Peninsula, which is based upon a Medicare Plus styled system. And for that, we do guarantee of payments to the providers, which right now with the higher deductibles that are out there, employees are not able to afford care. And so they're just not having the services that they need. So part of this is basically being able to provide even a better benefit to the people and the employees of Sussex County and at a lesser copay. And for that, the providers are giving us a better discount. So we're adding actually a new layer, a better benefit layer, not taking away anything from the existing benefit plan that you have now, but actually making it better. And this new network that was started to be built in September 2012, we have about 1,200 providers to date and about 8 hospitals that are participating and a number of hospitals that should be on in the network by July 1. So we're very happy to be able to introduce that new network to Sussex County.
And when we were looking at it, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong on the estimates, but if we had this network with last year's claims, we could have saved approximately $160,000 by processing the claims through those that would have qualified for the new network. So there's some savings there. Every little bit helps.
Yes.
Was it limited to government, or is it open to others? I mean, private individuals.
It's open up to private companies.
Trying to figure out what funds it, but go ahead.
No, it's a network. Mm-hmm. Again, the providers are having a difficult time getting paid,
and
with the higher deductible plans that are being implemented to control costs, we're in this vicious cycle where, you know, providers are not getting paid, so they have to increase their bill charges, and the insurance companies increase their fees, and employers are increasing deductibles. So part of this is guaranteeing payment to the provider community for a limited discount.
I do have a motion for our stop-loss renewal, which we should do
today.
Thank
you, Ms. Smith.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council renew our stop-loss insurance with the current carrier Companion Life for a fee of $246,720.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Godbut. Wastewater agreements.